Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
How are you, Chris Forrest?
I'm wonderful. I challenge you to a dance-off.
Dana Minahanza. Minahana Minahan.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like
absolutely.
It
was brilliant. That was the Idris Elba bit.
It was. I actually, if you closed your eyes, I would have thought I was in the room with Idris Elba.
So I was thinking, how do we angle this? And because I've seen you on stage before, but I've never seen you in your house, to my knowledge.
There's a webcam up.
Really? Sure, it's very interesting.
There's a live stream, but only at certain times a day.
And you've recently become a dad.
Yes.
So things have changed. But I've seen you on stage, and you are so at home at stage. So my question So my question to you, the first question is, where is it that you feel most at home? Is it at home or on that stage?
I think, by the definition of that sentence, it's at home. I love being on the stage, though. I do enjoy it. I'm a big stage whore. Like, from being the shyest dude in the world to being, like, if I see somebody else on stage and the crowd's laughing, I'm like, I want to do that too.
So do you feel like you're on a stage as a dad? Is there any comparisons we could draw with that, with being on a stage and being a dad, being open and vulnerable and all of that? Is there anything about fatherhood that's similar to walking out and not knowing what the hell you're going to do?
I'm a lot more confident on stage. No, I don't think so. I think the fatherhood thing's a completely different vibe. And also my daughter doesn't laugh at me at all. Well, she does sometimes.
How old is she?
She's 3 now.
3.
Well, there's actually 2, but the show's only really about one of them.
Okay.
Because I've got a favorite, obviously. And no, I'm kidding. Because they're listening.
We'll only focus on the 3-year-old.
Okay, good. The 4-month-old's also lovely. So 3-year-old's got a completely different sense of humor.
Both daughters?
Both daughters.
Cool.
I live in pink now. It's all pink and Barbie and Sophia the First. So that was a sigh of despair. I'm trying to indoctrinate them into becoming football fans.
Doesn't it cost a fortune, all that stuff? The branded Disney stuff? Are they not just like ripping the hell out of you?
Yeah, but it's actually not too bad. Okay. You can get some fairly, well, it's not going to be great quality. I don't want to mention the stores, but the cheap-ass stores. You can go there and then you can buy stuff there. My daughter loves Hello Kitty. You can buy a Hello Kitty shirt for like $40.
You know, we were speaking about on the show the other day that, because you're obviously watching a lot of cartoons and stuff now, I'd imagine.
Far too many, yes.
But it's made by adults. And we were speaking about the fact that, and I don't even have a TV, so I haven't watched a cartoon in a while. But someone who was on the show was saying that it's actually engaging because it's still made by adults and it's got this duality. Have you found that at all on the Disney Channel?
What I do find is because you watch it a lot. Like, you know that thing of when you play a song 50 million times that people become so familiar with it that they actually end up liking it. Mm. Like it basically it forces itself on you. It's like ear rape. But that's a bit hectic. Anyway, so you find yourself watching like Sophia the First, for example.
Yeah.
And then
what is that about? I've never seen it.
She was a girl in the village doing all right, and she became a princess overnight.
Nice.
Basically, her mom was a bit of a gold digger, and she hooked up with a king, and then Sophia became a princess, and then she's got these now siblings that are a prince and a princess as well. And then, obviously, like, she's quite grounded, and they're not so much. And then they have life lessons, and she's awesome, and she can talk to animals because she has a magic amulet.
Wow.
I haven't quite captured the plot, but it's close enough.
Sophia the First in 60 seconds.
Yes, there you go. But you find yourself watching it, and then toddlers don't care about repetition. In fact, they love it. So they'll watch the same episode 150 million times. Mm. And that's not even an exaggeration. They will literally watch the same episode 150 million times. And then when a new episode comes out, you're like just so excited because there's something different. You're like, yes, there's a new episode of Sophia the First. And then you wait for it to go to bed and watch it.
You know what I think is so cool about Who's Your Daddy, and I haven't seen the show yet, but I'm definitely going to, is that you've owned everything that's happening in your life. And everyone these days is speaking about being authentic, and that's what people resonate with the most. But you've taken stuff that's happening in your life, having a 3-year-old daughter, a 4-month-old daughter, and you've really owned it, and you are expressing that narrative in the exact way that it's playing out in the context of your life.
Yeah. Well, I think as a comedian, you write about what you know. And then when you have children, that becomes your life. It takes over a large portion of your time. So I can't really write about going to clubs and picking up chicks anymore because that wouldn't be real, as you said. And it wouldn't, I think a lot of in comedy people, they said that one of the secrets to comedy is truth.
Mm.
And so you have to write about what you know. And right now I know about pregnancy and childbirth.
And that's exactly what you're going to write about.
Pretty much.
So comedy also is about reflecting to society, where society's at and what makes society interesting and, you know, inspiring some sort of social change. Is there any of that that can be applied to, you know, stuff and material about being a dad? I don't know. Like, we have really shitty fathers in South Africa.
We do, but hopefully I'm not one of them.
No.
No, it's just kind of, it's my take on the experience. So, I mean, society doesn't necessarily have to be politics and who's in charge. Society can be what happens. I do sort of, there's a lot of myths about childbirth and parents. And one of the big things, messages that comes across in the shows, everyone talks about how amazing it is and how wonderful it is, and nobody tells you it's actually quite cuck. Hmm. It's like hectic. It's there's a lot of
like gore.
Well, not just gore. It's like people, there's this almost a stigma that you can't say, you know what, being a parent is quite, it's shitty, and I'm battling. You have to, like, you have to talk about, oh, I looked at my child and I just fell in love instantly. And everyone I've spoken to before the show, like, there was only one dude who said to me, that's not true.
Yeah.
And everyone else was, and I even judged him because I wasn't a parent yet. And I was like, what is this guy, dead inside? And then when I got my child, I didn't feel instant love. I was just like, whoa, this is instant fear. And then the more people you spoke to, they're like, yeah, actually, I was the same. But you don't tell people that because you don't want to be seen as this monster who didn't fall in love with your baby instantly.
Do you think you're at a point, though, where you're able to figure out how it's changed you, or really, you know, put a tab on, cool, this is the change I see in myself from what I was 5 years ago?
I think that, yeah, you can. I've become a lot more conservative in my views.
Have you, like, taken out extra insurance policies? And
I did. Well, I had insurance policies. I just increased them. I also found myself suddenly looking at young girls who were dressed provocatively and going, how do their parents allow that?
Yeah.
My daughter will never dress like that. But I've got a feeling that I might lose that battle because I really lost the one about she's never going to watch Barney the Dinosaur. No, I was quite serious. But have you watched Barney the Dinosaur?
I've seen stuff online that's not the greatest show for kids.
No, it's just really annoying. I always said I'd rather let my daughter watch porn than Barney the Dinosaur. Not like hectic stuff, just, you know, like the cartoon things. I'm not a pervert. But she ended up watching Barney the Dinosaur and singing the songs and making my life hell. What was I going with this?
I don't even know. This is what fatherhood does to you.
You're saying, how's it
changed
you?
You're a real person now.
So you start thinking in terms of, because now you have to think about what happens. You have to put another person first, which, I mean, you do anyway when you're married, but now there's this person who's entirely reliant on you. And so you have to think about that side of things.
So there's really no prep that you can do for it. It just is what it is, and it happens when it happens, and you just got to go with it.
There's some prep. If you are you?
No, definitely not, bro.
No, well, what I would seriously suggest, and I say this, I'm going to give a shameless punt to Huggies who are our partners on the show.
Yeah, everyone gets a thing of Huggies when they leave your show.
Well, not the well, we don't know what they're going to get. Huggies gives us a fantastic little goodie bag, which is amazing of them. Thank you, Huggies. And people do get hampers. We choose lucky people out the crowd. But what I would suggest is, if you're trying for a baby or you're pregnant, whenever you go grocery shopping, just buy a pack of nappies.
Really?
Well, because they become quite expensive. So if you do it slowly over time, then you've got a stockpile.
And
it's not such a, like, massive...
Yeah, because it costs a fortune, all of this, right?
Everything costs a fortune. These things are expensive.
Huh.
Like, even having, I don't know how people have births without medical aid, unless they were at a government hospital. I'm sure it's fine, but going to a private hospital, that is expensive. And then, like, all the other things, have you seen how much school costs? Not even just private school.
I don't even want to
any
know.
School. It's insane.
Yeah, I'm just more concerned about, like, you know, buying shoes online, bro.
So. Okay, well, once again, that's where your life changes.
What's the biggest moment of, oh shit, my life has completely changed that you've had in the past 3 and however many years?
I don't know if I've had one of those. It's just
you just, like,
gradual
in the kitchen and you're
beating.
Doing something and you're like, how did I get you?
No, I think there's little things where you find yourself, like I said, watching Paw Patrol or something on TV, and you realize your child has walked out the room 10 minutes ago, and you are doing that. Or like today, I found myself in a restaurant, busy making faces and having a conversation with my four-month-old, and then thinking, anyone who's watching me must think I'm insane.
No, but it's cool.
But it is very cool.
It is cool.
No, as much as I say the whole pregnancy parenthood thing is cuck, I love my kids to bits. Like, they're amazing.
So everyone refers to it as like a stage of life that, you know, if you don't have that stage, you haven't lived. You don't seem like a judgy guy.
No. I don't believe that at all.
But like, I mean, in the context of you and your story, it's a really positive thing overall. Although it's like hectic in parts, it's been super positive.
Look, it is... when that's the other thing that's changed is sleeping in now means 8 o'clock. but I wouldn't say, if you don't want to have kids, I'm not one of those people, like, people are going, oh, you have to. No, you don't. There's the planet's full. There's 7 billion other people who will probably have a kid. Just stop it. You know what I mean? But a lot of people, I think it's, as humans, we always go, if I've done something, everybody must do it.
Mm.
Like, I don't know if you've ever, do you drink?
Yeah, I mean, occasionally.
Occasionally. Well, twice a day. I imagine not constantly. But like, have you ever gone to a bar when you say, no, I'm not going to have any booze? And then you have to. Just have one. It won't kill you. And you're like, oh, all right. Well, if you're all having poison, I'll do it as well. Because essentially, that's what alcohol is. And don't get me wrong, I love alcohol as well. That's why people go, no, you have to. And then there's that thing, I actually talk about it in the show as well, where everyone goes, oh, you must have one. It'll change your life. And then as soon as you're pregnant, they're like, ha, 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 your life is going to change. You're never sleeping again. And you're like, oh, you were the one who was telling me how amazing it is. Yeah.
So with all these years that you've had on planet Earth, and this is going to be the final question.
There's a lot of them. There's a lot. You nearly said 40.
No. Definitely 20 something.
Wow, good save. Yeah,
18. So with and then we get to talk about, you know, where the show is happening and everything like that. But with all these years that you've had on planet Earth,
I've spent most of them here. Yeah,
spent quite a few here. What for you has been the most important takeaway thus far? Because one day you're gonna have your 3-year-old on
from me, and you're Pizza gonna have to tell
Delfino. No. Let's be tell me.
Oh, sorry, that was a terrible joke. That joke will not make it into the show. My philosophy on life can all be summed up by Baz Luhrmann's sunscreen song.
Dude, it's the best thing ever.
Anything you want to know is in that song.
So there's a fantastic line in that song. Some of the most interesting people I know didn't know what they wanted to do at 20. The most interesting people I know still don't know at 40.
Yes.
Is that you?
No, not necessarily. I love what I do, and I'm going to keep doing it till I can't do it anymore. And just anything comedy related, not necessarily just stand up. My favorite line in the song is the one about, be careful whose advice you pay for, but be patient with people who dispense it, because advice is a form of nostalgia.
Yes, and you know, I bring this up very regularly amongst my millennial friends as we have our millennial crises. You know,
I just like life crisis. The fact that you use the word millennial,
but the idea of advice is a form of nostalgia—it's really powerful. I'm still trying to figure out what that means to me. What's your take on that line?
It's basically when you're giving advice, you're reliving what you went through. So you're actually just more sharing a memory than anything else, and trying to improve somebody else's future events.
And it's from your perspective, which is why you have to be so careful about advice.
Exactly.
All right. talk to me about the show.
It's a pity people can't see the earnest look on your face there. It was beautiful. The show, it's called Who's Your Daddy? I've got a massive campaign going that I'm trying to get. Well, I haven't got it going yet. I'm trying to start it. I'm not quite as ambitious as Casper Nyovest. I just want to fill up the Santon Auto and General Theatre on the square.
Nice.
It's called
Where You Started.
It's called Who's Your Daddy? It's at the theatre on the square in Santon. You can get your tickets at strictlytickets.com. You best log on now, because I'm sure they're going to be flying at this point. Strictlytickets.com, and they're 150 rands. The show is running from the 31st of May to the 18th of June, which gives you plenty of time to get a babysitter if you're already a parent. There's fantastic facilities, etc. And if you, like I said, there's we mentioned earlier, there's really cool Huggies giveaways and everyone gets a goodie bag. And it's a really fun show for anyone who is a parent or is becoming a parent or is thinking of becoming a parent or even knows their parents. Because not everyone does. And I actually specifically got a director in who didn't have children. I got Bevan Cullinan, because I wanted it to appeal to people who'd never had kids as well.
Is he going to have kids following the experience?
Not as far as I know.
Okay.
In fact, he says no.
Okay. He's going to keep playing the Tooth Fairy in the Mnet ads.
Yes, he's one of those guys who's got dogs that he's very fond of.
Yeah. If there's one thing I learned from Chris Forrest on a Thursday afternoon, what is it?
Never take life too seriously. Let's go with that.
I dig it.
Like, no matter what happens, you can't change it. Just deal with it. Move on.
Who's your daddy? Strictlytickets.co.za.
Or.com. Yes. St. Cynthia's on the Square, 31st of May to the 18th of June. Makes for a fantastic date night.
Power. Chris Forrest, thank you very much.
Thank you. Love your work. Hellman on CliffCentral.com.